Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Friday. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Alex Curry is joining me today on Dodgers-Angels series starts tonight. A lot of stars in that series. Bad news for the Lakers. AD got hurt again. Alex, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fabulous, Colin. How are you doing?
Well, it's going to be a big baseball weekend here in Los Angeles. Oh, yeah. Angels, Dodgers, good teams, bad bullpens. So there'll be wild scoring late in games, teams holding on to leads.
Yeah.
We got a couple things. Aaron Rodgers in a second. Let's just start with this. So, I mean, the NBA has been a weird year. I mean, Denver lost their second best player. Brooklyn guys can't stay healthy. Kawhi Leonard's hit and miss. LeBron's been hurt. Now AD got hurt last night. So in the first quarter, they needed him against the Clippers. He gets hurt in the first quarter. He is so injury prone that he literally twisted his ankle, but yet actually left the game because of a back spasm. I mean, it's like that operation game as a kid, like which bone is healthy. They need him tonight. He's 50-50 if he can play. They've needed him when LeBron got hurt. They're 2-6, and he's had the worst point average in his career in a brief stint. Listen, here's the truth about Anthony Davis, is that he's not Tom Brady, he's not Russell Wilson, he's not LeBron James. He doesn't spend millions of dollars a year on his body. He does not. He does not spend millions on his body. He's more like Rasheed Wallace, naturally gifted, not really a number one, more of a brilliant number two. You can't necessarily depend on him physically, but God, he's unbelievably gifted. But Rasheed Wallace used to give the Blazers a check before the start of every season for all the fines for missing working out. He didn't like the weight room. Anthony Davis doesn't either. He is not a grinder. He doesn't take care of his body, and therefore his body doesn't take care of him. That is why he has so many small nagging injuries. You have got to commit to your body. The planes, 33,000 feet. I don't care if it's a private jet. I don't care if it's the team plane. 33,000 down, 33,000 down, 45, 55 times a year, working out, light sleep, luggage to the hotel. It breaks down your body. And the reality is Anthony Davis is just not built to give you 75 games in the regular season and 20 in the postseason. And LeBron is now tied to him for his career because Anthony Davis knew his body gives out in him. He knows his body better than anybody, and he signed a 5-year deal, and LeBron is now tied to him. A guy that's marginally committed, not a number one, a brittle body. And this was supposed to be the year that AD took over. Remember, this was the year. He's 28 years old. They win a title, and there was a sense inside the room, the Lakers room, this is your team. What happened? He came in so-so shape. He got off to a terrible start. He has this year the fewest blocks of his career, the fewest rebounds of his career, the second lowest field goal percentage. He's had a terrible year, and he's missed the most games of his career, and LeBron is tied to him. And you know what this really shows more than anything? And this is such a truism in life. You can run from your problems, but you can't hide from them. LeBron has moved 3 different times, and he can't escape the same issues in the NBA. He went to Miami. D-Wade was old, got hurt a lot. And he goes back to Cleveland. Kyrie was flaky. Kevin Love couldn't stay healthy. Now he moves to Los Angeles. AD, never healthy. And LeBron is trapped because he doesn't want to play with young kids. He doesn't want to teach them basketball. When he went to Los Angeles initially, they had all these kids. Kuzma's the only one left, and he wasn't in love with him. Kuzma's now committed on the defensive end. That makes LeBron happy. But in the end, he would have gotten rid of Kuzma. So he doesn't want to play with young guys. He wants to play with old guys. But old guys are brittle and stuck in their ways and often flaky and hard to deal with and harder to coach. So LeBron is sort of trapped, and he keeps moving around to solve an issue, and he just finds the same issue in a different city. First, Dwayne Wade was older and couldn't really play at a high level back-to-backs. And then Kevin Love got hurt in Cleveland, and Kyrie was a flake. And now he moves here, and AD sort of marginally committed and can't stay healthy. This is not a championship team this year, and it's the reality of LeBron's career. He now looks old. He feels old. Sometimes he sounds old. He said a couple of weeks ago, I'll never be 100% again. This was going to be the year that AD took over. And instead, once again, LeBron is left with a teammate he can't rely on. He came in marginal shape. This is why he's hurt more than ever. These guys are pampered. They're not supposed to get hurt. You got training staffs looking after him 24/7. AD walks by him all the time. So once again, LeBron moves to solve an issue. And it's the same issue in another location. So the Aaron Rodgers stuff, it's never ending. So right the day of the draft, I thought it was sort of a zany coincidence that a year earlier, the Packers humiliated Aaron Rodgers by drafting Jordan Love. And 1 year later to the day, Aaron Rodgers, I thought, humiliated the Packers. Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, all at the exact same time, suddenly broke the story, all connecting to one another like I've never seen in my entire career that Aaron wants out of Green Bay. I don't know who fed him the information. I don't know. I can guess who I think it is. I don't think it's the Packers. But now Aaron's friends are out there, AJ Hawks on our show in 15 minutes, James Jones on the NFL Network saying Aaron didn't leak the story.
I speak with Aaron all the time. I talk to him a lot, and it has nothing to do about getting the GM fired. It has nothing to do about getting a new contract and getting money. You know what I mean? Everything that Aaron Rodgers has done since he's been a Green Bay Packer, this is not him. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and leak all this stuff and say he wants out of there and be giving all this stuff to the media. That's never been him. And the organization side of it comes into place, and you talk about, you know, him and the GM and the head coach working together. I think it's fixable. I think they'll be able to get that stuff done. But I think that's what it's about.
Okay, and that's important. James Jones, who talks to Aaron Rodgers all the time, just said, I think it's fixable. James talks to Aaron. Aaron talks to James. Meaning Aaron's probably told James, it's fixable. Just, you know, go get me Julio Jones, restructure my contract. I've said before, I'd peel the Band-Aid off and move on if Jordan Love can play. If Jordan Love can't play, then you're really screwed. Then you have to figure out how to get Aaron Rodgers back into camp and in Green Bay for years. And we've had how many players have I had on this show over the last month? And what's the question I ask every player? And I preface it by saying to each one of them, I ask every player this. How many days does it take when you draft a player to know that he can play or he can't? And the answer from every player is always shockingly quick. Shockingly quick. Two practices. I asked somebody the other day about Trubisky. Two practices. Sam Acho. Two practices. You can tell if a quarterback can't play. Well, Green Bay's had Jordan Love there for 150 practices. Don't you think they know the answer? Green Bay doesn't want to move Aaron Rodgers. And because of COVID, none of us were at those Green Bay practices, right? Green Bay knows he can't play. Green Bay knows the answer. They're the only ones that know the answer. They want to make this thing work. They don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers. They've seen 150 practices. You don't think they don't know if he can play or not? Every stinking athlete that comes on this show is like, dude, two practices, guy can make throws or he can't. They got 150 practices, and they're like, I don't know, it could go either way. I don't buy it. I think Green Bay knows Jordan Love can't play and they whiffed. And if that's the case, okay. Everybody makes mistakes in the NFL. The key has always been own it, pivot, and fix it. The Cleveland Browns, to their credit, hired Freddie Kitchens. Oh, crap. This doesn't work. Boom, out, Stefanski. They fixed it. They didn't try to, hey, Freddie Kitchens just needs time. No, Freddie Kitchens needs time to come down to the GM's office and get fired. They fired him. Stefanski's a home run. Arizona, Josh Rosen, doesn't work. Boom. Kyler Murray. Think they regret it? By the way, Green Bay rolled the dice. We're going to draft a guy from Utah State who had a marijuana issue. Oh, yeah, 2 of his 3 years, he wasn't very good. They rolled the dice. They whiffed. It's okay. The Rams signed Jared Goff to a massive contract. Huge deal. 2 years later, we screwed up. Let's go get Matt Stafford. Belichick, not this draft, the previous draft, drafted 2 tight ends, 10 picks apart from each other. This draft, this free agent period, 9 months later, yeah, I'm going to go get 2 tight ends. I missed on those guys. Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater. They paid him $31 million. He played 15 games. Carolina's like, yeah, you're not good enough. Let's go get Sam Darnold. The key in this league, everybody makes mistakes. The key is own it, pivot, and get the crap right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Kyler Murray, just go get the better guy. Kevin Stefanski, get rid of Freddie Kitchens. Everybody makes mistakes. The Murdochs own this company. Some businesses work, some don't. It's just the way it goes. If you're a frenetic and aggressive business person, entrepreneurial, you're going to make some moves that don't work. You can't be afraid. You think business people are afraid of failing? Dana White, UFC. You know, he puts cards up. Sometimes fights are duds. Hopefully more are great. You can find the best baseball scouts. A lot of them missed on Jeter. All right, go get the next guy. But 100 practices with Jordan Love. Would Green Bay be so desperate if they thought the dude can play? Just go trade him. Let him play. You're not paying him anything for years. I mean, to me, this situation more and more, Green Bay clearly doesn't want to move him. We know that. You can read every story. Nobody's saying they do. And now, from an Aaron Rodgers side, James Jones, you're getting, it's fixable. So go fix it. Go get Julio Jones. He's on the market. Restructure Aaron Rodgers' contract so you get some cap space. And cut Jordan Love or trade him for a 7th-round pick. That's what New England did with Garoppolo. Tom Brady didn't like it. All right, let's fix the problem. Get a 2nd-round pick, move on, make Tom happy. By the way, Green Bay rolled the dice. They thought Aaron was declining. Oops, he's not. New England thought Tom was declining. Won the Super Bowl against Atlanta. Oops, he's not. Did you watch the games last year? Oops, he's not again. So just own your mistakes. It's no big deal. Nobody's going to eat you. It's just, I whiffed on that one. But I think social media freaks everybody out. Oh, my God, I don't want to post this. Everybody will attack me. I get attacked all day on social media. Checks don't bounce. It's fine. Come to work every day. We have fun. Crazy. Just nutty. So Aaron's friends are saying it's fixable. That tells me we're moving. We're inching closer to maybe getting back together again. And A.J. Hawk will join us this hour. A lot of stuff today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Navien tankless water heaters. Go tankless. Save money. Save the planet. Save space. TanklessMadeSimple.com. TanklessMadeSimple.com. I used to not love flying. It's not like I was a nervous flyer, but, you know, heights, didn't love them. And then I kind of attacked it. I bungee jumped. I did a lot of flying. I went to the Space Needle. Anytime I could kind of attack my height thing, I did. And I'm kind of over it.
Good for you.
Yeah. But there was something I learned about myself. It was like I was 8th or 9th grade. I didn't know the name for it. But I was in the gym when I was 8 or 9 years old. And we were playing like hockey on a basketball court. It was great. It was so much fun. I remember this. And I just happened to get lucky and score the winning, like, goal.
Yeah.
And kids jumped on me, and the pile got big, and I freaked out. And I remember just thinking at the bottom of this pile of 20 kids, I can't breathe. I don't like this at all. I didn't know it was called claustrophobia. So I haven't had people pile on me since, but I remember that feeling as a kid kind of getting off the pile, and the teacher came over, the PE teacher, and went, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I didn't like that." Like, and he's like, "Oh, you're probably claustrophobic. It's okay. A lot of people are." Alex and I were talking during the break.
Yep.
You're a little claustrophobic.
Oh yeah.
I probably have that, you know, genetically in me. I don't like being trapped.
Yeah, you want to feel like you're free.
Want to feel like you're free. And so one of the things I've always defended pro athletes on, my career lasts forever. I'm mid-50s. I could do this to mid-80s if I'm alive. I mean, you see Larry King was on the air a week before he died. Like people do, Vin Scully, until he's 80. And so I don't ever feel like I have to win a negotiation or win this or win that. Is that I can be on forever. But if you're a pro athlete, you can feel trapped. I go to a crappy team. The collective bargaining agreement is not pro-player. It's pro-owner. The NFL's got the weakest union. NBA union, very pro-player. Baseball union, very pro-player. Hell, the umpire union is stronger than the NFL player union. The coaching unions are stronger than the NFL player union. And so sometimes if you're a star player, a quarterback, you feel trapped. I think Russell Wilson's a really good guy, but he's gone public twice. I want more money, and I want more players. Why? He's trapped. What are his options? Tom Brady did a documentary, had editing control, made sure everybody in New England saw his wife saying, Gisele Bündchen saying, he wants to be respected. Could this just be Aaron feeling trapped? They won't get him wide receivers. They keep drafting developmental players. He watches Brady, Mahomes, Josh Allen, all their talent. And so he's kind of leaked some stuff here and here and here. And you could say, well, James Jones said he's not leaking stuff. Okay. But didn't Aaron, after the NFC Championship, remember the post-game comments? He kind of put it out there for Green Bay management to kind of understand how he was thinking. Remember this bite.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far. Obviously, there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not. But just the uncertainty is tough, and the finality of it all.
That's kind of a message. That's kind of a message. So what do you do? I call it professional claustrophobia. Russell Wilson's always been go Hawks, but he thought he was massively underpaid. And the rumors came out he wanted the Giants. I had two sources on that, said it was a real story. By the way, Russell Wilson unhappy with the offensive line. Goes public. Seattle in both instances solved it. Brady was unhappy with Jimmy Garoppolo. Those stories made ESPN the magazine. What happened? Garoppolo was traded. Some of this may just be Aaron really doesn't hate Green Bay, but he feels professionally trapped. Okay, restructure my deal. Solve all the issues. It may just be that simple. We all consider today, Aaron wants out. That's all I hear from anybody. Maybe it's Aaron wants a better deal and doesn't want out. Maybe it's, can we restructure my deal, get me Julio Jones, and stop drafting six offensive linemen every year? Can we finally get a corner that's not a reach from Georgia and go and get the best corner, the second round from Georgia, which Urban Meyer and the Jags got? Maybe this is a cry for help. It's a cry for restructuring. It's a little professional claustrophobia. Alex with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Nets are starting to slip at the wrong time. Kyrie scored a season-high 45 points, and Durant put up another 20 last night against the Mavericks, but Brooklyn still lost 113-109. And James Harden has been out again. This is their fourth straight loss, the longest streak of their season. Now, James has missed 16 games in a row. So, Colin, remember, the Big Three has only played 7 games together this season.
And what's interesting is we all know James is one of the great offensive players ever, but I always question how valuable he was. They won 20 of 22 games at one point without Kevin Durant this year. They can't win without Harden. They have KD and Kyrie. Yeah. They can't beat the Mavericks. So it's fascinating. It's not a shot at KD necessarily. Harden's value, Rockets, disaster. Brooklyn can't win without him with KD and Kyrie both playing well last night.
Yeah, no, he is the most important person on the team. And they're currently in the second seed, but the Bucks are only a half a game behind them. And Giannis right now is playing amazing and putting up MVP numbers.
He is.
This could be the Bucks year now that the pressure's off. I know. It's going to be interesting down the stretch.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Jets are hoping that Zach Wilson is the franchise quarterback they've been searching for. He'll be one of the rookies called upon to start week one. And his personal coach, John Beck, thinks Wilson's preparation is what's going to set him up for success next season.
He's a football junkie. He loves every opportunity that he has to get better, to improve at something. He's extremely dedicated. When you get to the NFL level, there are so many talented people. The way to separate yourself is from the work that you put in and also how you learn from those experiences. And when I look at Zach, he's always so willing to work and learn from those experiences. And I think it's going to give him a great opportunity to lead his football team through playing well.
Well, it helps. We were just talking about Ohtani for the Angels, who is literally lives, breathes, eats, sleeps baseball.
Yeah.
There's no question. If you live in the film room, it is a massive edge as a quarterback.
Yeah, and I think his biggest edge is that he actually believes that he can help this team. And the belief and the confidence for a rookie quarterback who's starting week one is going to get everything thrown right at him. It's a huge part of it.
You know, listen, Lamar Jackson's got a good GM. Josh Allen's got a good GM. The best thing Zach Wilson has, he appears to have a very highly competent general manager, Joe Douglas, which Sam Darnold didn't until his last year, and it was too late. So when I look at the Zach Wilson situation, I have no idea how good Robert Saleh is as a coach. I have no idea. But when you watch the last two drafts for the New York Jets, you do come away thinking they have a game plan. The previous general manager, they had no game plan. It was just odd fits and injured players. And I had talked to GMs around the league with the previous GM, and they said 2 years ago, not this draft or Joe Douglas's first, the one before that, they said it was the strangest draft they'd ever seen. They couldn't make heads or tails of it. Like, at least with Joe Douglas, you feel like, okay, they've picked a path. Mm-hmm. They're going to upgrade the last two drafts. Two of the first three picks, left side of the offensive line. So at least I feel like Zach Wilson has a guy running the ship that's not going to steer you into an iceberg.
And I'm rooting for him. You're going to have hiccups when you're a rookie quarterback starting week one, but he seems like he has the right head on his shoulders, the right mindset, and the confidence and belief in himself in the team. So rooting for you, Zach. Moving on to the Eagles. They are all in with Jalen Hurts as their starting quarterback next season. He's only got four starts as a rookie in 2020, and GM Howie Roseman is looking for Hurts to make the most of his opportunity to prove he's their guy.
Certainly, you know, you're judging him off of four NFL starts in a tough situation with all the injuries that we have. You know, we want to see him grab the job and kind of run with it and see what you do over a period of time. And, you know, we want to be in a situation where we get as much information as possible, give him the best opportunity, you know, build that offensive line, give him the right weapons, put him in a system that really maximizes his ability, and then go from there.
They got him weapons. They got him Devontae Smith. I think that was kind of the biggest nod they gave him, trading down and then trading back up in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jalen Hurts deserves the season. Yeah. I think Daniel Jones deserves about until Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you'll know Daniel Jones by Thanksgiving, you'll know. I think you're going to have to watch the full slate of games with Jalen Hurts because he didn't play much last year.
Uh-uh.
And frankly, this team's much more of a rebuilding effort than the Eagles owner would like to admit. They've got an old offensive line. There's some finger crossing at the wide receiver position. They have one great corner. There's a lot of questions with this team, and let's give Jalen 16. I mean, Eagle fans, I will say this, they're not always the most realistic, but everything I have read this offseason, Eagle fans have come to terms with, we're not a Super Bowl team. Can we at least figure out if we have the right quarterback? And that's an incredibly healthy way to look at it. Not yeah. every team's a Super Bowl mm-hmm. team. Sometimes Buffalo year two with Josh Allen. Do we have the right quarterback?
Yeah.
Let's just figure that out. Now, year three on, you're a Super Bowl contender for 10 years with Josh. But these first couple years, you're just trying to find out if the kid can handle it, and that's yeah. where Philadelphia's at.
I think this is what they needed to say the moment that Carson Wentz left. Let Jalen know he's your guy. Build up that confidence. Give him the tools he needs to succeed. So I think they're heading. I think they're heading in the right direction.
Good stuff. Alex for the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Yeah, the Aaron Rodgers situation, there's been so many twists and turns to it. Listen, the day of the draft, Friday, Thursday or Friday, it came out, and all these reporters are like, Aaron wants out of Green Bay. And Aaron's friends are all saying, well, Aaron didn't leak it. And my takeaway is, well, I don't think Green Bay would leak it. I saw a story yesterday where Aaron Rodgers was booed by fans at the Brewers minor league game amid the Packers stare down. I said yesterday is that, you know, Aaron's got $100 million in the bank. He's fine. Aaron's never going to have a problem making money. But I don't think Aaron, not all athletes have the stomach for bad PR. I mean, LeBron James came out at one point and said, I don't like being a villain. Remember that a couple years ago when he went to Miami? LeBron came out and he said, I hated being a villain. I always thought Kobe Bryant kind of liked it.
He loved it.
I, you know, some guys have the stomach for it. I don't know Aaron well enough, but I don't think Aaron loves, you know, hearing a story where Brewer minor league fans are booing him, and fans tend to take sides. That's just the reality of it. And good looking California, dating an actress, doing Jeopardy. I don't think, you know, I think there's some Packer fans that are thinking, are you leaving us? And they're not happy. So you got a lot of stuff going on here. You got Aaron after the season saying, I don't know what my future is. He plants a seed, and then this story gets broken the day of the draft, and then Aaron's friends are saying he didn't plant it, and Green Bay, this all started a year ago when they drafted a quarterback, and frankly, we don't know if he can play a lick. So it is, but I do think the stuff I'm hearing today, which is interesting, James Jones used the word fixable. Well, James and Aaron are close. So if James Jones says it's fixable, that's probably in conversations with Aaron, which he admits he's had recently. Aaron thinks it's fixable, which I do if you just restructure his contract and get rid of Jordan Love. It's what the Patriots did with Garoppolo. All right, we thought Tom was getting old. He's still great. Green Bay rolled the dice, thought Aaron was getting old. Oh, wait. He's the MVP. He's not. Everybody makes mistakes. Just own them and pivot. AJ Hawk is now joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Former Packer, 11 years. Listen, I'm a believer, AJ. You can fix any problem. I tell my kids all the time, hey, there's no unfixable problem. We just had a pandemic, and this morning I went and looked at the Dow Jones, and it's at 35,000, and the economy, people are getting jobs. So I look at the Aaron situation, and there's been some animosity, blah, 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 the Jordan Love pick. Do you believe, though, it is fixable in Green Bay with Aaron and the Packers this morning?
Well, I think I kind of think like you do, where I feel like everything is fixable, right? And when I look at their situation, yeah, I think it's definitely fixable. I don't think there's anything crazy from either side. I think that would just cause someone to break things off completely. But I do think it's an uphill battle. I think the Packers are going to have to figure something out. I don't know what they need to do or how they do it, but I know I'm hopeful as a Packer fan that Aaron's back there.
How about this? I'll throw one at you. You go to Aaron and say, because they could have done this, by the way, 2 months ago. We're going to restructure your deal. It's going to give us cap flexibility. We'll give you more money up front. And we're going to go get Julio Jones with the extra money. He is reportedly on the market. If you go, you know Aaron better than I do, obviously. If you go to him and say, we're going to restructure your deal, 3 years guaranteed, fourth team option, but you give him a lot of money up front. I mean, he's 37. He'd be to 40, 41 years old. We're going to go get Julio Jones. Do you believe? I mean, that's pretty nice. You get the money, you get the star number two or number one. Do you think he would consider signing that deal?
I mean, that's a heck of a situation you laid out there. Yeah, I mean, of course he would love to play with Julio Jones, but I know Aaron has even said before in the past a lot of times too, like, this isn't about the money. Like, I don't think he's trying to break the bank to try to be the highest paid person ever in the history of the NFL. Like, who knows? He should be probably, but I don't know. I don't think that's his top priority by any means. But I don't know if that's a a plausible plan. But you know what, Colin, I'm glad you put that out there. Maybe that'll be something that we can watch play out.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't think that's terribly difficult. I think it takes two phone calls, one to Julio's agent and one. And I don't think I laid out something here that's I'm not asking people to, you know, land a plane on the Hudson. That's a pretty easy one. Now, let's be honest about this, though. And this is where I said this before. Is that if my company right now, AJ, hired somebody and kind of made it clear that, Colin, you got a couple years left, I'm not throwing a party. Aaron knows he's better than Jordan. It's not, that's not the issue. Brady knew he was better than Garoppolo. He still didn't want him hovering over him. Can we acknowledge that drafting Jordan Love just wasn't really smart? You got to know the temperature in the locker room, and Aaron didn't love it. That's fair, right?
Yeah, even if I don't even take into like how Aaron would feel about it. I'm just talking about his play. If you watched what he was able to do, how he was playing, and where he was trending, like, I don't think it was the time to draft a quarterback. That's not Jordan Love's fault that he was drafted there. But I think then obviously Aaron comes out and wins the MVP, and we say he's got tons of time left, I think, at an elite level. But I don't think it's about Jordan Love either. Like, I don't think he's asking for Jordan Love to not be on the team. That's not something he's looking to do. I just feel like the Jordan Love situation was one thing in a string of things that had probably built up over the last who knows how many years.
I've said this before. I can be a broadcaster forever. You could be a podcaster for the next 30 years. Where I've always defended pro athletes, and especially NFL quarterbacks, is they're trapped. Hell, they can franchise tag you forever. And Russell Wilson's a nice guy, but he decided a couple years ago, I'm going public with stuff. I'm just going to go public. He did, got a new contract. And then he did it again, and he got a new offensive lineman. And I think Russell's a good guy, but he's trapped. As you know, the player's CBA in the NFL is not the NBA. You don't have the power. By the way, Brady was getting ticked. He did a documentary. He let his wife say in the documentary, he'd like to be a little more respected. Could I not say, and this isn't a criticism of Aaron, but when Aaron talked after the NFC Championship, he planted a seed. And that seed was, guys, I'm kind of trapped here. Could you do me a solid and help me? That was a little bit of a plea for help after that loss. A little bit of a professional claustrophobia is, I can't get out of here. Could you please get me more good players?
I mean, maybe, you know, I know coaches use the media to try to promote whatever the message they want their players to be hearing. So I don't know if Aaron is definitely a calculated person. So that's possible. Anything is possible. But I think it's just, I don't know how you feel, Kyle, but I feel it's crazy that it's come to this point. Like, I feel like, okay, some point along the way, we should have felt this thing rumbling and we should have found a way to make it better and not get to this point where I never thought we'd be.
Do you think Aaron can be a Packer and Brian Gutekunst could remain the general manager, or is that just too severed right now?
I think he absolutely could play for Green Bay with Goody as the GM. I don't think it's about that either. I think I said that earlier this week that I don't see Aaron out there promoting that he wants Goody fired. I know it's been reported from different places, but I guess we'll see whenever Aaron does speak.
When's the last time you and Aaron talked?
What do you consider talk? Text, phone calls, what is in person? I'm in constant, not constant, but I communicate with him a good amount.
What's his mindset today?
That's a good question. Today, I don't know. You know, he's on a different, you know, he's out there West Coast, so 3 hours behind me. So I make sure not to send a text too early and wake him up, you know, 3 a.m. for him. But you know what? I feel like he is very relaxed, and I feel like he's excited, working out, looks good. He looks pretty trim. If you saw those pictures of him at the Derby, looks thin, lean, mean. I think he's ready to roll.
I saw a story yesterday, Aaron booed by fans at a Brewers minor league game amid Packers stare down. Do you think, is he concerned at all that he's being viewed as the bad guy here?
Well, I think that the title of that should probably be video of Aaron doing a commercial gets booed. Do you think if Aaron was standing there at second base, they're going to boo this guy? I don't know. I don't know if it's the same thing there. But I don't even know what your question was now, Colin.
Well, no, I mean, you're right. If he was there, they wouldn't boo. But what it tells me is there are people saying, hey, man, you're doing Jeopardy. You're not one of us. is Aaron maybe concerned that he is viewed by some in Packer Nation as he's not happy and he just wants to move on, and that there's going to be some people that align with the team over the star quarterback?
I mean, I think it would probably be impossible not to feel that a little bit if you feel like people are turning on you or whatever. But I think he also knows what like the true Green Bay fans are like, and I'm sure he feels strong in what he is doing right now, and he feels like he's justified. So I think everybody there, no matter what happens, and no matter what people are saying anywhere in Wisconsin, if they say Aaron Rodgers is coming back and he's back and he's ready to roll with an extension, they're going to be pretty darn happy.
Yeah. If I said today, Aaron Rodgers 1 year from today, where do you truly believe he'll be?
Green Bay.
How long before a reconciliation happens, in your opinion?
Jeez. I mean, I'm not speaking for anybody. Like, I'm not speaking for Aaron ever, but I guess there seems to be a lot of work to do, but like, I think you can work through everything, but I don't know when that happens. I know what June 1st is when they could possibly trade him and all that. So are we going to have to wait till then to make any kind of progress?
All right. All right, AJ Hawk, who texted.
I'm confused like you, Colin. I'm sorry. I'm confused like you. I'm trying to figure it out just like the rest of us.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's Aaron's public. When you're public, everything's more complicated. I mean, let's be honest. If he was an outside linebacker at 37, made two Pro Bowls, I'm not leading my show with it. Like, you've been around Aaron. Aaron lives a big, complex life. He's got stuff. Everybody's talking about him all day. Do you think he loves that?
No, I don't think he loves that part of it. But I think he understands it, and he knows this comes with the deal. This is how it works. And he knows deep down how great of a player he is and what he can do on the field. And when you can do things like that, guess what? People seem to want to be around you and be in your same orbit. But yeah, it would be tough to think about like day to day. It is, there's a lot on his shoulders, I think.
AJ Hawk, former Packer, 11 years, was at the Kentucky Derby with Aaron over the weekend. All right, man, I appreciate you coming on, being honest with us. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. I wish I had some more answers for you.
That's okay. I ask questions, you give as much as you can. That's the way the game works. I appreciate it, AJ. Yeah, it's a lot. It's fluid. It's moving. I still contend if Jordan Love could play, you've seen him 150 practices, this wouldn't feel as dire, but if he can't, it is dire. And, I do, when James Jones says it's fixable, that tells me Aaron's willing to allow it to be fixed. That's what that tells me. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. Talk to a Hustler Turf dealer near you. HustlerTurf.com, 1,000 dealerships in America. So Anthony Davis got hurt last night for the Lakers. LeBron still not playing. I think one of the things, the Lakers right now are kind of falling apart, and this is what happens to old teams. We've seen Brooklyn with a lot of veteran players. You got to remember, LeBron has played 317 more games than Michael Jordan ever did. That's almost four full seasons. LeBron has had to carry his team for long stretches. Michael took basketball off for a few years to play baseball, came back in and played. Baseball's not as taxing on the body as basketball is in the NBA. So LeBron's been in kind of a bad mood all year. First of all, he usually gets 120 days off end of season to beginning of the season. This year he got slightly more than half that. Then AD showed up and was not in great shape and was not ready to play and was disappointing. 3, LeBron did not want the All-Star game. He desperately wanted 5 to 6 days off. He had to go to the All-Star game. 4, LeBron got hurt again. Psychologically, He understands now he's much more vulnerable. 5, the Lakers now are falling apart because AD, they're 2-6 since LeBron left and had to be carried by AD, and they're going to have to play a play-in game. That doesn't make him happy. And then, like, number 6 is LeBron's taken a beating with some of his political stances. The China stuff, people are making T-shirts, they're mocking him. LeBron sees all. It's not been a great year of PR. And here's a guy who the last two off-seasons been making a movie in Hollywood. So last year, LeBron got all the breaks. They got this bizarre 4.5-month hiatus on his body with the pandemic, and LeBron was so energized. We said it during the bubble. He was blocking shots like his 5th year in the league, his 6th year in the league. And AD, always brittle, got 4.5 months off. This year, they've got no breaks. Condensed season, had to play an all-star game. AD gets hurt again. LeBron gets hurt again. Montrezl Harrell isn't quite fit like they thought. Schroeder is now hurt. So I just, last night, by the way, LeBron was not even in the arena when Frank Vogel was asked. He just said he's not here. When asked for a reason, he's just not here. So was he home resting his leg? Certainly possible. But I think LeBron's breaking down. He looks a little old. He sounds a little cranky. And this is the reality, you know, when you're in year 17 or 18. This guy's already got 317 more games than Michael. And many of those are playoff games. You're playing 42 minutes. You're guarding the best players in the world. Peter King is around the corner on a Friday for hour 2. Wait until you hear what Aaron Rodgers could go for next.